Father, we give you thanks and praise for another opportunity to sit at your feet and to learn of you. You said one thing is needful, and that is to sit at your feet to learn of you. Because you are our teacher. You are our guide into all the truth that we need to live victoriously in this present world. Thank you that you said in your word that whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And you told us also in your holy written word that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Therefore, we can say clearly that the means by which we overcome the world is your word. And so this morning we thank you that you show us that which you want us to see out of the scriptures this morning. And you help us to apply it to our lives that we may walk in the victory that you have already won for us over the devil and all the evil system of this present world. You said again, as you gave us the word to run with, arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But you will arise and shine, because the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Thank you that that is our portion in this church, and that is the portion of our fellow brethren in the body of Christ everywhere. Help us to stir faith in us according to your word, and to run with that word on a daily basis, that in the midst of the darkness, we will arise and shine indeed, because of your light and your glory that is upon us in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thank you this morning for helping us to have the faith to do so. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says, amen. Praise God. Isaiah chapter 41. And let us read together from the 10th verse to the 14th. That's Isaiah 41, 10 to 14. Let's go. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them, and shalt not find them, even them that contended with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing, and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Amen and amen. Praise God. Well, why don't you pause for a few seconds and just reflect on what we have read, particularly that phrase that keeps recurring in this passage that we have read this morning. I will help thee. Fear not, I will help thee. That keeps recurring in the verses we have read this morning. God kept emphasizing it. Fear not. In other words, don't be afraid. I will help you. Don't be afraid. I will help you. Fear not. I will help you. Look at it again in verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Hallelujah. And then look at it again. It says, dropping down to verse 13, for I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, fear not. I will help thee. See, God is repeating it again. Fear not, I will help you. Now look at verse 14. He repeats it again. Fear not. Fear not. Again, I will help thee. I will help you. Well, reflect on that this morning before we share the truth that God wants us to have. Even if you don't remember any other thing at the end of the service, just remember those key phrases. Fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, I will help thee. This is not man telling you not to be afraid. And then you wonder, well, what has he got to help me? I can trust him. This is God himself telling you not to fear, because he will help you. Don't be afraid. I will help you. And we all know that God cannot lie. Every word God speaks, he will always perform. He's not a man that he should lie, Bible says. Neither is he the son of man that he should repent or change his mind and say, well, I promised you yesterday to help you, but today I've changed my mind. God is not like that. And so if he tells you not to be afraid, if he promises to help you, well, I don't know what else you need. I don't know what else you need. There's absolutely nothing else you need other than to take hold of that word and say, well, God has told me not to be afraid, therefore I will not be afraid. God has promised to help me, therefore I expect him to do exactly that, and therefore I'm not going to have any sleepless night over any trouble in my life. I will roll the cares upon the Lord and trust him to help me. I will not be afraid of any circumstance or any situation or anybody or anything whatsoever. When we develop our faith in God, we will be as bold as a lion. Hallelujah. Bible says the wicked fleeth when no man pursueth, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. Boldness comes from faith, not from our own human personality. It comes from faith. If you think you are bold on your own, I tell you, when you face some challenges of life, you realize that you don't have any boldness. You fear as if you are in terror. I've seen big muscular men who, if you see them physically, you won't want to go near them, or you won't want to take them on because they are huge and muscular. But I've seen them weep like babies when trials of life eat them. With all their big muscles, they cry like babies. And I've seen many of them also, when they are threatened by difficult situations of life, they just live in fear. These are bold men, so to say, courageous, muscular men. But now they are afraid. Some of them can't even sleep at night. They are afraid of their shadows. So what are we saying? Boldness comes only from God. It comes from the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of faith, who ministers the courage of God to us on the inside. Remember in Acts chapter 4, Bible records that the early church, after they had been threatened, not to preach anymore in the name of Jesus, they went back and reported the matter to the church. And the whole church prayed, Bible says, when they heard. And what were they praying for? They were asking God for boldness. You see, they didn't assume that they were bold and courageous men. And meanwhile, they all came from various backgrounds. If they were to rely on themselves, there will be some of them that will say, oh, well, I'm courageous. Let me go and take them on. No, they prayed and they asked God for boldness. They prayed for boldness. And Bible says when they had prayed, the place where they had prayed was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and with boldness. So where did the boldness come from? From them? No. From the Holy Spirit. And you and I have to understand that we have a source which the people of the world don't have access to. And that is God. God can make the difference in your life and in my life on a daily basis in every situation. And we have to learn to hook up with God's grace on a daily basis. And the means of doing that is through faith. Through faith. By faith, Bible says in Romans chapter 5, we have access into the grace of God wherein we stand. So we have to be courageous by receiving from the Holy Spirit on a daily basis the ministration of His grace through our faith in Him. That's the way to live without fear. God says, fear not. And yet we find many Christians living in fear today. Why are they living in fear? Is it because they don't have the capacity to be bold? No, they have the capacity. Even the newborn baby in the body of Christ has the DNA of God in him. God is not afraid. So all that each one of us need to do is just grow up and mature. Every child of God has the nature of God. The nature of God is boldness. The nature of God is courage. The nature of God is faith. There is no fear in God. For the Bible says God has not given us the spirit of fear. So where is fear coming from in the life of a believer? And that's what we want to address this morning by the help of the Holy Spirit. Because we are living in very dangerous times. Paul wrote to Timothy and said to him, this is what he wrote thousands of years ago. And he said to Timothy that the Holy Spirit was speaking to him expressly that in these latter days, perilous times shall come. In other words, there will be times of fear and great peril in the earth. Why? Because the devil knows that his time is short and is waxing more and more ferocious in his evil deeds. But if we are not careful as Christians, we will allow the devil to get us to be afraid just as the people of the world are. And yet, that is not our portion. That's just for the people of the world. If somebody who doesn't know Christ comes to me and says to me, well, I just can't sleep at night. I'm living in fear all day long. I'll say, well, I understand what you are going through because you have no access to God that can help you. You are under the influence of the devil. The devil makes everybody to live in fear because he rules his kingdom by fear. So the only solution to your problem, my dear brother or my dear sister, is to come over on God's side and receive in your life the nature of God that overcomes what the devil is doing in the world. That's the only solution. You can go for counseling 100 times and you still come back living in fear. Because the solution to your problem is God himself. The only counseling that will work in your life is the one that you receive from godly men and godly women who will show you the way of God and tell you, well, the key is for you to take up your Bible, have faith in Jesus, and begin to ask God, like the early church did, to fill you with boldness. Then that's the right counsel. because it's so written in the Holy Scriptures. But if somebody tells you, just be a man, just be a man, well, you better tell them, well, I can't be a man on my own. I need God to help me to be a man. You know how we say, particularly in traditional ways, people just say, just be a man. Man up, man up. And yet when problem comes, the same person that tells you to be a man will be weeping. And you wonder, but you told me to be a man. How come you can't be a man? Because nobody can be a man on their own. The early church didn't fool themselves. They went to God and asked God to give them courage, give them boldness. Because they knew that the only way to overcome the world and the system of this world is by receiving from God the boldness, the faith of God, and the grace of God in abundance. That's not our way. Don't fool yourself. That's why as Christians we must spend time in fellowship with God and keep receiving on a continual basis the input that comes from God into our lives so that we can walk this life in the victory that belongs to us in Christ Jesus. So the first thing we have to understand before we leave this passage of scripture and look at several other ones this morning, and get your pen and paper ready. I'm going to dictate a few points to us to meditate in, because God doesn't want any of us as his children to live in fear. No fear of anybody. No fear of anything. No fear of any devil. No fear of any demon. No fear of any man. No fear of any harm of flesh. No fear of any created thing. If there's any fear, you and I are expected to live by as Christians, it is the fear of God. And Bible says the fear of God is pure. Because it is not the kind of fear that will torment you. It's the kind of fear that will draw you closer to God to enjoy the blessings of God in your life. Hallelujah. But all other kinds of fear bring you torment. Because what you are afraid of, you run away from. But the fear of God moves you close to God, not away from him. See? All right. Now look at verse 10. Fear thou not. And then God gives us some basic reasons why he's telling us not to fear. Right there in that verse of scripture. Number one, for I am with you. God is with you because you are his child. He has promised never to leave you nor forsake you. And you can rest assured that God is with you even in the situation that you find yourself in right now. God is with you in any adversity of life. He said, when you pass through the waters, he will be with you. When you pass through the fire, he will be with you. And if you are wondering whether that was possible, well, you need to read the Bible. And you find out that God has done it before. He did it to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He went in the fire with them. He did it with Daniel. He went in the lion's den with him. That's a faithful God that we serve. So if God says, fear thou not, because I'm with you, you better just believe that and stop leaning on your own human understanding. Stop saying, well, how am I sure God is with me here? I'm alone. Hey, I need to run. I'm alone. Nobody is here with me. Well, you may look on your right, on your left, and there is no man to help you. Remember, God is there. At the end of the day, the one you really need is God. Because if you gather people together, like the army of Gideon, you are wasting your time. They can't win any war. And when trouble comes, they will just run away from you and leave you alone. They will desert you. Even Jesus, his disciples left him. Peter, that promised not to forsake him, forsook him. Denied him three times. And Paul wrote to Timothy, He said, at my first trial, no man stood by me. All men forsook me. That's what we are talking about. If you trust in man, you are misplacing your trust. They may tell you, well, I'll be there. I'll back you up to the very end. But when trouble comes, you find out that they are not there. You are left alone. Because everybody will save their own skin. That's why the Bible says the hammer of flesh will fail. Don't put your trust in man. Trust in God. God never fails. And don't trust in yourself either. You will fail yourself. I will fail myself. Because we are all humans. And you can't trust in anything in this world because everything is subject to change in the world. But when you trust in God, you will live a stable life. In the storm, in trouble, in every circumstance, you will be stable. Nothing will move you, like Apostle Paul said. None of these things move me. Why? Because his trust was in God, never in this world or the things of this world. If you trust in money, you'll be disappointed. I've seen billionaires become poor in one day. Because when their investment fails, then everything goes down the drain. There's absolutely nothing in this world that you can trust because everything is subject to change. The only one you can trust is God. And he knows how to keep you and keep you in victory in every situation. So God says, fear thou not, because, number one, I am with you. Number two, he says, be not dismayed, because I am your God. So God says, don't be afraid. I am with you. Don't be dismayed. To be dismayed literally means to become so perplexed. When you look at your situation, you just respond with perplexity. You are confused. That's what God is saying. Don't let any situation confuse you. Don't let any situation discourage you. Don't let any situation perplex you, because I'm your God. What you don't know, I know. The way you don't know, I know. So don't be confused. Look to me and trust in me. I can make a way for you where there seems to be no way. I opened the Red Sea before. I brought manna from heaven before. I made water to come out of the flinty rock before. So why should you be confused by anything? And today there is so much confusion in the world. I'm not surprised by that, because God said it should be so. But when I find Christians confused, that's what surprises me. Because it ought not to be so. What is happening in the world is in the world. It shouldn't be in a Christian. Because we are in the world. We are not of the world. There should be no fear in any Christian. There should be no confusion in any Christian. That's what God is saying here. Fear thou not. I am with you. Why should you be afraid with me by your side? Who is greater than me? Why should you be afraid? That's what God is saying. Let us wake up as Christians. Why should we be afraid when God is by our side? Who can be against us when God is by our side and God is for us? This God that we are talking about is a consuming fire. It can consume anything out of the way for us. So why then should we be afraid? Even the devil is afraid of God. And yet many Christians are afraid of the devil. Something is wrong somewhere. How can you be afraid of somebody that is even afraid of God, and yet God is on your side? We need to wake up. James says the devils believe, they tremble in fear, because they know God is a consuming fire. Even when they saw Jesus, they said, have you come to torment us before our time? And yet, those of us who are in Christ today, we are allowing the devil to torment us. Something is wrong somewhere. It is because we are not allowing the word of God to register in our heart. We are not spending time in it to allow the Holy Spirit to implant it in our inward part and give us that understanding and that boldness of faith that comes from God and God alone. God never promised us that we won't go through challenges in life. But he said, be of good cheer. Don't let anything bother you. You go to sleep at night like a baby. Don't have sleepless nights over any problem. Bible says it is vain for you to rise up early and sit up late eating the bread of sorrows. For so God giveth to his beloved sleep. You go to sleep and let God be God. Hallelujah. But these things come as we develop our faith in God. They don't just happen automatically, even though there is the potential in us. We have to allow that potential to begin to manifest. Christ in us, the hope of glory. But the hope must become a living reality in our lives. And that's what we are looking at this morning. Again, God says, fear thou not, because I am with you. Be not dismayed, because I am your God. I am your God. I am with you. I am your God. I am on your side. And then let's look at it again. It says, I will strengthen thee. Huh? God says, I will strengthen you. So don't be afraid. Don't be confused. Don't be discouraged. I have the strength to help you in your weakness. Just look to me and let me help you. I will strengthen you. So stop saying, well, I'm weak. I can't help but fear because I'm just like that. No, 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 no. God says I will strengthen you. Forget about you and focus on God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will uphold thee. I will hold you up. You won't fall. That's God saying, I will hold you up. Forget about anything that is contrary to you. I will hold you up by my own hand. I will uphold you. Hallelujah. With the right hand of my righteousness. Bible says that right hand of God does valiantly. The devil is afraid. When he sees the hand of God begin to move. Because he knows how much power and fury God always releases when he moves that right hand. It is always stretched against his enemies. The devil knows these things. But many of us as Christians don't even know them. Because we are slothful where the word of God is concerned. It's time to wake up. Quickly, let's look at some other scriptures And we will summarize by the grace of God. Let's turn while we are still in Isaiah a few pages forward to chapter 43. If you have been living in fear, let today be the end of that kind of lifestyle. For you as a Christian, make up your mind. Make a decision today that from this day forward, I will not live in fear of anything or anyone or any situation because God is on my side. I'm going to trust in God. I'm going to pay the price and allow the Holy Spirit to help me develop the boldness of faith that belongs to me in Christ. Bible says the righteous are as bold as a lion. Have you seen a lion wimp? In the forest, I say, lion, go in there, wake up and say, I don't know what's going to get me today. No, that lion just wakes up. And all the animals in the forest go into hiding. It's bold, it steps out majestically. And if any animal tries to defy that lion, the lion will heat it up. Oh, you wake up in the morning and let the devil be afraid of you and say, hey, this guy has woken up and those demons run from you. That's how it should be. Not you running from them. When you see a Christian running from devil and say, oh, the devil is pursuing me, you better tell them, no, you are running in the wrong direction. God didn't say you should run away from the devil. He said you resist him and let him flee from you. You should be the one pursuing the devil, and the devil is running, and the devil is afraid of you, and you push him out of town. But when the devil is when the devil is pursuing you, something is wrong. You don't know who you are. You just need to wake up and come to the understanding of who you are in Christ and what Christ has done for you. He has delivered you from bondage to fear. So where is the fear coming from then? We shall see this morning. Isaiah chapter 43, verses 1 to 5. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee, and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. Hallelujah. Look at that verse 4. This is God saying that you are so precious in his sight. You are so precious. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are a peculiar people. God himself has chosen you. He chose you in Christ from the foundation of the world because he had foreknowledge of you that you would accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. So he chose you to be his own, and you are so precious in his sight. You have the blood of Jesus upon you, which God cannot ever look away from. And if need be, he will exchange somebody else's life for you in that situation. That's what God is saying. He will save you and let somebody else take your place in death. That's how faithful God is. I'm telling you, I've seen accidents where the person that is on the side of the car that was totally wrecked and should have died was the person that survived. The person that was on the side that the accident didn't wreck, died. How do you explain that? This is the scripture for you. This is the scripture for you. You just, everybody got there, they couldn't explain it. How did this person survive? And the only thing on that person was just a little scratch. The person even got out and said, I'm all right, don't worry about me. And yet on the other side died. You just can't explain it. I'm telling you, there are angels of God around. They know how to keep those that God wants to save. You have to believe God. Take God at his word. And let your faith please him. God knows what to do. God knows what to do. Hallelujah. Let's also look at Isaiah chapter 44. Again, God is saying, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. We are living in perilous times, but don't be afraid. The devil knows his time is short. He's doing more evil in the world. But don't be afraid of the devil. Don't be afraid of his evil works. Let your heart be fixed, trusting in the Lord. Psalm 112 verse 7. The man that delights in the word of God, Bible says in verse 7, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. Because his heart is fixed, trusting in God. Why is the man not afraid? Because he fixed his heart in faith. His delight is in the word of God, verse 1 says. He just delights himself in God. Takes time to fellowship with God. And the boldness of God is in him. Because when you spend time with God, the nature of God will rub off on you. That's how it goes. That's why fellowship is important. Chapter 44, verses 1 and 2. Yet now hear, O Jacob my servant, and Israel whom I have chosen. Thus saith the Lord that made thee and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob my servant, and thou Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. Fear not. Fear not, God says. Don't fear. Oh, but my next door neighbor is living in fear. He told me that they said there is a plague in town. And that plague is wiping off people. And just next door, all the people in that house have died. And the thing is moving to his own house. And next is coming to my house. No, you got it wrong. It won't come here. It won't come to my own house. 1,000 may fall at my side. 10,000 at my right hand. It shall not come near me because my case is different. I have no fear of any evil. God is faithful to keep me. He promised it. I believe him. And so I will go to bed at night and sleep like a baby. And in the morning, I will wake up because Bible says I will go to sleep and wake up because God will sustain me. And then you watch and see. You watch and see. Every other person may die on the street. You will still be alive. And even the people that hear about your testimony, they will know that God has done great things for you. That's what we are talking about. You have to believe God. Believe God and let God be God. Don't lean on your own human understanding. Let's also turn to Isaiah chapter 12 while we're in the book of Isaiah. Don't be afraid. Plague or no plague, pandemic or no pandemic, that's not your own portion as a Christian. You see, if Christians are living in fear, how are we going to shine the light to those in darkness? How are we going to be able to tell those of the world that there is hope for them when we ourselves are doing exactly what they are doing? And yet we are supposed to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. If they are living in fear, we should be the ones telling them that, well, there is only one way out of this fear. Come on God's side. It will make you to be bold as I am bold. It will make you to have peace as I have peace, because God can make the difference in the lives of his own people. But if they see us fear like they fear, they see us talk like they talk, they hear us talk like they talk, and they see us behave as they behave, we don't have any witnessing to them. They won't even believe when we stand up and say, Jesus is the Lord. They say, how come he hasn't helped you? Because I hear you talk exactly as I talk. I see you fear as I fear. And then you are coming to tell me about Jesus. How come that Jesus hasn't helped you to be different? You see, that's how we do damage to the gospel. The people of the world don't believe something unless they can see it. It is only you and I that understand faith, that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The people of the world live by another law. Their law is seeing is believing. They have to see that you are not in fear before they will listen to your message that Jesus can help them with their fear. That's why we need to wake up. We need to wake up. We need to wake up. Isaiah chapter 12. Thank God for the truth. The truth makes us free. We are not afraid of anything. We are not afraid of any plague. We are not afraid of any sickness. We are not afraid of any calamity. We are not afraid of any pandemic. We are not afraid of anything. Because we trust in God. Hallelujah. We don't rely on ourselves. We are not boasting. in ourselves, but we are boasting in the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Isaiah chapter 12, verse 2. All right, let's read. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Hallelujah. Please underline your Bible there. I will trust. You see, that's where the choice comes. I will trust. You have to choose to believe God and not lean on your own understanding. The reason why many Christians live in fear is because they are making the wrong choices. They are choosing to live by their human understanding, their natural senses, instead of trusting in God. And you and I know that just being a Christian does not give us the guarantee that we are going to have anything different from the people of the world. The only guarantee that we are going to have something different is our faith. The just shall live by faith. Because faith is the victory that overcomes the world. So if I just have the badge, I'm a Christian, but I'm not walking by faith, I will not be different from the people of the world. I will be afraid as they are afraid, and I will suffer like they suffer. No difference. But when I hold up my shield of faith, praise God, the difference comes now. Because that shield of faith snuffs out all of the devil's strategy. And I can have peace, I can have boldness, I can have courage, all because of faith, which is based on the word of God. So that's why here it is written, I will trust, I choose to trust and not be afraid. Hallelujah. And in order to help ourselves make the right choices, we have to develop our faith in God. We have to develop our faith in God. While we're on that, let's quickly turn to Matthew chapter 14 and see the example in under the New Testament of choice making and how the choice or the choices we make will determine whether we live in fear and we are overcome by the devil and the problems of life, or we live in faith and we overcome the devil and the problems of life. It's just a question of choice. It's just a question of choice. That's why the Bible says choose life. You choose life. Take responsibility. Choose to believe God's word. Choose to believe God and not lean on your own understanding. Too many of us make the bad choices, the wrong choices. That's why we turn out with all kinds of things that later we regret. We need to wake up. Choose to believe God. Choose to trust in God. Reject all forms of fear. Do not yield to any kind of fear. Reject them all. Resist them all. Take up your shield of faith and stand against the wiles of the devil. Because he rules by fear. He operates his kingdom by fear. That's all. All right, Matthew chapter 14, we all know the account, so let's just go straight to this verse. Verse 29, and he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Ha! This is somebody, one moment, making the right choice to act in faith. Based on what Jesus said, come, and he stepped out of that ship, Bible says, and he began to walk on the water just like Jesus. Exactly like Jesus, no difference. But the next moment, he took his eyes off, and he looked at the waves, and he thought in his mind, oh, this is a dangerous thing. And that allowed the devil to put fear in him. what we look to or look upon will determine whether we are in faith or in fear. Many of us today are looking at the news about the pandemic and listening to the news about the pandemic instead of looking into the Bible and listening to the Word of God. You see, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, and fear cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of the devil. The devil speaks also. Jesus said in John chapter 10 that the voice of the stranger, his sheep will not obey. But the problem is, many of us as Christians, instead of behaving as sheep, we behave as goats. That's why we run into problem. If we are sheep, then we won't obey the voice of the stranger. That's the devil. So the devil is speaking. Don't think it's only God that is speaking. The devil is speaking also every day. But you have to choose. Don't listen to the devil, because if you listen to him long, he will convince you. It's as simple as that. He did it to the first man in the garden. Look at how he walked on Eve, to the extent that Eve was so convinced that what God said not to do was a good thing to do. So don't listen to what the devil is saying. Listen only to what God is saying. Turn your ears away from hearing those things that the devil is saying in the world. Hallelujah. All right, let's also quickly look at these scriptures. Then I'll give you these points and summarize before we go. Joshua chapter 1. Oh, thank you, Lord, for boldness and courage in our hearts as your people. Particularly in these last days, help every one of us in your body to be bold as you expect us to be, in Jesus' name. Verse 9. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Again, this is God assuring Joshua and telling him, I have commanded you. Obey my command. Obey my command not to fear. And in order to do so, verse 8 gives the key. If you are going to be one that obeys my instruction not to be afraid, if you are going to be the one that becomes courageous and bold, you need to spend time meditating in my word. There is no shortcut to it. Because you need faith to be bold. You need faith to be courageous. And that comes from the word of God. Hallelujah. Let's also turn quickly to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Oh, scripture upon scripture. So many of them. God repeating himself again and again and again. Don't fear. Telling his own people, do not fear. Do not fear. Do not yield to fear. Do not allow the devil to get you to fear. Because he operates through fear. Don't open the door to the devil. Shut the door in his face. When fear comes knocking at the door of your heart, you just refuse to open the door to him and say, fear, you are not welcome here. You are not my portion. So get away from me in Jesus' name. You have to do that and raise up the shield of faith against that situation that is trying to get you to fear. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, for the sake of time, let's just go down to verse 17. You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not. Underline that again in your Bible. Fear not. Fear not. Nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. So don't fear. God is with you. Don't be afraid of the host that have come against you. This is God bringing his word. After Jehoshaphat, had called for prayer and fasting to seek the Lord, because he didn't know what to do against the enemy. There were too many to go into battle against. But he sought the Lord, and God brought him the word and said, "Don't worry, Jehoshaphat. You even need to fight in the battle. I will fight for you. I am with you. But make sure you are not afraid." Why is God saying, "Don't be afraid"? Because the moment they fear, God cannot operate on their side. And let me say this. Fear is a spirit. And that spirit is contrary to the spirit of God, because it is the spirit of the devil. That's why God will always say, "Fear not." Because if you fear, faith cannot operate. And if faith is not operating, God cannot operate. God needs faith. Even David, before he could bring down Goliath, had to make sure that he was not afraid of the giant that the whole land was afraid of. Otherwise, he would not have succeeded. Faith is required. And faith and fear cannot be in operation at the same time. When one is active, the other is dormant. That's why God will say, "Fear not." In other words, don't give place to fear, so that faith can be there and I can help you. All right. Psalm 27. Verse 1. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" I love this. This is somebody making a right choice, reflecting on the truth in himself, and saying, "Well, God is my light. God is my salvation. Therefore, who shall I fear? No one. God is bigger than all." With God on my side, who can be against me? If they try, they are going to fail anyway. So why should I be afraid of them? All right, please write this down. God commands us, or instructs us, if you like. See, he commanded Joshua. So it's a command. And you and I just have to respond. A command is something you respond to in obedience. So God commands us, or instructs us, not to fear, because he has not given us the spirit of fear. That's number one reason why he tells us not to do. Because fear is not from him. So why should you be operating in what is not coming from your Father in heaven? Fear doesn't belong to you. Your Father has not given it to you. So the stranger is the one giving it to you. So get rid of it. In front of that, please write these scriptures. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7. And Romans chapter 8 verse 15. And look up those two scriptures on your own. Because that's exactly what they say. God has not given us the spirit of fear. God has not given it to us. So that's why he's saying, "Fear not. I have not given you fear. You are my child. So why are you acting in what I have not given you?" And Romans 8:15 says also that God has not given us the spirit of bondage to fear. Fear is not from God. It is from the devil. Next, please write this down. Where then does fear come from? So if God has not given us, so where is it coming from? So write this down. The devil is the source of all kinds of fear. Whether you are thinking about fear of death, fear of failure, fear of going in the air, fear of traveling in the sea, fear of your shadow, fear of whatever, fear of dark, fear of anything, all kinds of fear, just know that the devil is the source of every kind of fear. He is the spirit of fear. That's why the Bible says God has not given you the spirit of fear. The devil is the one. behind it. In front of that, please write the scriptures. Genesis chapter 3 verse 10. Hebrews chapter 2 verses 14 and 15. We all know what is in Genesis 3:10. Remember, after Adam had disobeyed God together with his wife Eve, they left the place where God was always coming to fellowship with them, and they went into hiding. And then God called out when it came to where they should have been, and he didn't find them. He said, "Adam, where are thou?" Then Adam responded, "We heard your voice in the garden, and we were afraid." That's the first time man knew what was called fear. Where did it come from? From the devil who had been in the garden and got them to disobey. Now fear had come. So the devil is the source of fear. And in Hebrews chapter 2 verses 14 and 15, Bible makes it very clear there that the devil was using the fear of death to hold people in bondage all of their lifetime. That was why Jesus had to come and partake of flesh and blood in order to destroy the devil through death. Thank God that we know where fear is coming from. Next, write this now. How do I get fear into myself? You see, fear should be outside in the world. It shouldn't be in any of us, but we can get it in like Peter did and began to sink. It will do the wrong thing. So how do I do that? Well, the answer is simple, just as we saw in Matthew chapter 14, verse 13. It is by focusing on what the devil is doing. So if you focus on what the devil is doing, fear will enter into you. It's as simple as that. You must not allow fear in you. That's why God says, don't be afraid. Don't let fear enter into you in any way, because that fear will paralyze your faith. Don't allow it, because what you focus on will have access to your soul. It's as simple as that. You and I know when we look upon something for long, we'll remember it also for long. The mind will register it and play it back on the screen of our mind all day long. So if you focus on what the devil is doing, that's what your mind will be focusing on. And when you even go to bed at night to sleep, you will dream and have all kinds of nightmare, because you've been thinking upon the wrong thing. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And what you look upon, you will think upon. It's as simple as that. So don't focus on what the devil is doing. Take your eyes off. You focus on the word of God. Look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. Finally, how do I overcome fear? So how do you overcome fear? How do you ensure that fear does not have the upper hand against you? The answer is simple, as we have been sharing, but we are going to break it down into key truths in the Bible to help us know how to apply these things to our lives on a daily basis. Number one, faith. The number one key to overcoming fear is faith. In front of that, please write this scripture, Mark chapter 5 and verse 36. Jesus himself said to Jairus, remember when people then came from Jairus' house and told him, don't trouble Jesus anymore, your daughter is dead. Well, Bible says as soon as Jesus heard that which was spoken, he turned to the ruler of the synagogue, Jairus, and said, do not be afraid, only believe. In other words, the solution to your fear is faith. Believe. Jairus, the solution to the fear that is about to come through the news that you just heard is your faith. So don't listen to what they have said and be afraid. Keep on walking by faith. And Jesus brought that child back to life because Jairus obeyed. He obeyed the instruction. He did not fear. He kept his faith going. And he got the miracle. Number two thing to overcome fear is love. 1 John chapter 4 verse 18. I want us to turn there and look at that scripture. and keep it as a frontlet between our eyes, as Bible says. Don't ever lose sight of this truth. Every Christian ought to know this by heart and live by it every day. Not just occasionally, every day. You have to understand who you are as a Christian and how you became a Christian and how God is holding you in your Christian walk. If you don't understand that, the devil will get you to be afraid. You have to know the truth. The truth is what makes you free, as Bible says. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. But for the sake of context, I'll read it from verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and God in him. Ha! Every Christian ought to know that. You have to know the love that brought you to salvation. For God so loved the world, he gave. So love brought you into salvation. Now that same love that brought you into salvation is what God is using to keep you as his child. That's why Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8, he said, I am persuaded that nothing can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. So we have to know this love and we have to release our faith in that love. And now look at verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. So when you are walking in the love of God, there is no place for fear. That's what the Bible is saying. And you'll be able to live a peaceful life because fear has torment. People who live in fear, they are tormented because they are under the influence of the devil. The devil, the spirit of fear. You see Christians live in fear? I tell you sometimes some of them, they break down easily, panic all day long. They can't sleep at night. Why should that be for a Christian? That's for the people of the world. But again, because of our ignorance and because of our wrong choices, because of our refusal to obey God and do what God says to do, we allow the enemy in. Bible says give no place to the devil. But many of us as Christians give place to the devil all day long. For instance, remember Bible tells us, be angry. And do not sin. Let not the sun go down on your wrath, neither give place to the devil. But many of us, we get angry. We allow the sun and the moon and the stars to go down on our anger. And we open the door wide to the devil. The devil comes in. And when the devil comes in, he's a tormentor. He will torment. And then we'll begin to blame everybody. And some of us even blame God and say, God, why have you forsaken me? God says, no, I didn't forsake you. You forsook me. I told you what to do, you refused to do, and the devil came in. So you opened the door to the devil. Finally, the third thing to do to overcome fear is prayer. Acts chapter 4, verse 29. We looked at that before, we mentioned it before, the early church. Bible says they prayed, they asked for boldness, and then after they had prayed, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and with boldness. So it was the prayer that they prayed at that point, the asking for the Holy Spirit and courage and boldness that helped them to receive it. So when you sense that fear is coming, immediately raise up your shield of faith. Get the Bible out and meditate in the word of God, as God told Joshua. You have to do something. Don't just fold your hands. The moment you begin to sense that fear is trying to rise up in you in any situation, hold up your shield of faith through the word of God, as Bible says, then call to mind the love of God, that God is love. I'm a child of God. Perfect love casts out all fear. I trust in the love of God, and I walk in that love towards my fellow brethren. That's what it means. You have to love the Lord thy God and love the neighbor. So if at that point in time you find that you are hating somebody, get rid of it immediately, because that's a foothold for the devil. You can't walk in hatred towards anybody. No. Get rid of that hatred quickly. Because the devil is trying to come in. That's where fear is rising. He's trying to come. He's the spirit of fear. Get rid of anything that will give him the advantage in your life. Jesus said, the prince of this world cometh, but he has nothing in me. The moment you begin to sense fear, realize, hey, I must be on guard here. My shield of faith, hope, the love of God. Am I walking that love? Search me, O Lord, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, so I can get rid of it immediately, because the devil is going to gain the foothold with that in my life. And then pray. Pray for the Holy Spirit to fill you anew with boldness and courage, so that that fear is driven out. The best time to resist the devil is the time when he's first trying to show up in your life. Don't wait and say, I'll do it later. When he gets in, it takes more time to drive him out. May God help us. Hallelujah. We are going to pray before we go this morning. Let's turn to Psalm 46. We are going to use that to pray for ourselves, one-on-one with the Lord, and also for our fellow brethren in this church and in the body of Christ, that the Holy Spirit will minister to every one of us anew this morning the courage, the boldness, and the help we all need to overcome all kinds of fear. In Jesus' name. We are not afraid of pandemic or epidemic or any kind of evil tidings in the world, because we know God is with us. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her. And that right highly. Hallelujah. God is our refuge. God is our strength. He is our very present help in trouble. Therefore, we have no reason to fear anything. Absolutely nothing. And then we remember there is a river. That river is talking about the Holy Spirit that can help us. And so we pray and let the river bring the help to us. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let's just pray in other tongues for the next few minutes. Let the river of God flow and minister help to every one of us. Deliver everyone in this church and in the body of Christ from all manner of fear. And give boldness to us as a gift to the early church when they ask for boldness. We pray for the Holy Spirit's intervention in the hearts of Christians everywhere tonight, in all parts of the world, that none of us will succumb to fear. None of us will yield to fear. The boldness of faith, the courage of God will be strong on the inside of us by the help of the Holy Spirit. Precious Holy Spirit, help us. For you are our helper. We cannot do it without you. Oh, fill every one of us anew. Strengthen everyone by might in our inner man, that we may be as bold as God expects us to be as his children. In the name of Jesus. Just pray in other tongues for the next couple of minutes and let the Holy Spirit flow divine strength and help to everyone in this church and in the body of Christ everywhere. In Jesus' name. Niangredo se plaba de calamahanda se clerosa. Nimbronondo su se cladere rosa. Mehembo se plagonehete calamahanda. Robranes comanahande sokiliendo sa. We take authority over every spirit of fear in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We bind them in Jesus' name on the authority of the word of God, and we declare that as God's people in this church and in the body of Christ, God has not given us the spirit of fear. We reject fear. We reject any kind of torment in the name of Jesus. We hold up our shield of faith and we stand our ground in faith and in courage, trusting in the Lord with all our heart and saying no to all kinds of fear and evil tidings in the world. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, mighty God. Thank you, mighty God. Lift your hands to God and thank Him. Thank Him for boldness in your heart, boldness in the heart of your fellow brethren in this church and in the body of Christ. For we are the people of God. We are the people of God. We are not afraid of any evil tidings in the world. God is with us. God is for us. We are not dismayed because we know God is our God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, mighty God. We praise you. We worship you. We adore you. In Jesus' name. And everyone says, Amen.